Welcome into the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt, powered by HD Media Sports, along with Video Productions. And I'm by myself today. Ryan is on vacation, and Jack is dealing with some other work obligations. So we're going to do a little bit of a kind of a Zoom edition of the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt. We got some great segments and interviews, guests, whatnots on today's show. First up, the voice of WVU baseball, Dan Zangrilli, is going to join me. They got Texas tonight, first pitch at 6:30. Of course, you can catch that broadcast on the Mountaineer Sports Network, as long with ESPN Plus. If you have that app, all Big 12 games are on that app. And following that, we're going to talk some softball, sectional champions, Herbert Hoover, Missy Smith, head coach, legendary coach, a softball here in the state of West Virginia. We're going to catch up with her as well. We always encourage you to go over to Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify. We got video over there now, so you'll be able to watch this video on Spotify as well. Please give that a subscribe and all that good stuff. Give our Facebook page a like and follow, along with our HD Media partner and Video Productions, their Facebook page, social media accounts, and make sure to go over to wvgazettemail.com. That's where all of our episodes are archived. So we appreciate all the support and love we've gotten so far, and enjoy today's podcast. All right, here with the voice of Mountaineer baseball, he is Dan Zangrilli. Dan, what's up, my guy?
Good to see you, Brandon. I'll tell you, man, we're coming off that win a couple of days ago. We got a scare put into us by UC, but now tonight we've got a massive three-game weekend series that we're looking forward to here against the Longhorns, which is one of the bigger ones here that I think we've had in quite some time, frankly.
Yeah, and you look at the Big 12 standings, WVU very much in the thick of things there. Middle of the pack, kind of tied there with Oklahoma right now, and it depends on what happens at the top there as far as conference standings. But let's kind of talk about that UC matchup. I was seeing some of the Mountaineer fans going, why are we playing the University of Charleston? This is going to be a walkthrough game, yada, yada, yada. Little did they know they weren't educated on the history of the program at UC. You know, I'm in this area. I've known about UC, their success, obviously a D2 school. But yeah, they were up 2-1 late in that game. You get a walk-off base hit, you get two scores there on the bottom of the ninth for WVU to pull that one out.
If it wasn't for Kevin Dalvell hitting that leadoff home run as a pinch hitter, great move by Randy Mazey. He hit Dalvell, the lefty bat, for Tevin Tucker, and then able to get J.J. Weatherhold on. He steals second base and is able to get into scoring position with two outs for McGuire Holbrook, who was able to come through with the walk-off hit. But yeah, I mean, that's an unbelievable Golden Eagle baseball program. And I think I remarked as we were heading off the air, I mentioned to Ernie, I said, you know, West Virginia baseball is having a really special year. And there's a lot that this team can be proud of. But there are two programs in the state of West Virginia that folks should really be following and jumping on the bandwagon. And I've got a ton of respect for Robbie Britt. Had a chance to talk to him before the game. Blew me away, 29 years old. For as far as I know, he could have been 49, and he could have been at the helm of a program for 15 years. You could tell that Tim Corbin of Vanderbilt, who he goes to his camps a couple of times a year. He's got a pretty decent relationship with him. You could tell that there are Vandy boy Corbin fingerprints on basically everything that he does, because throughout the entire game, and there was not one moment, one pitch in that contest where Charleston looked like a Division II team, period, full stop. The best compliment that I could pay him and that program and what they've done is that I couldn't tell the difference. I had no idea that this was a slapped together midweek baseball game against a Division II team, or whether it was Friday night in the Big 12. And I'm dead serious about that. Like, I couldn't tell the difference. They wear the Central Michigan colors. They could beat Central Michigan, sure. But that's the best compliment that I could pay, is you couldn't tell the difference. They act the part. They look the part. They played the part for essentially nine innings, and they made the Mountaineers work. And it's not for anything that I think WVU, they did particularly wrong. They were just with West Virginia, a Big 12 program that's worthy of getting to the NCAA tournament, pitch for pitch all night long.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, it looked like a Big 12 matchup of Friday night, which we're going to get tonight against Texas. But it was just, I just thought it was fun just seeing some of the fans kind of talking about what went into getting that midweek game, going? Because it was kind of just thrown in, and what went into that? I mean, I know Randy, Coach Mazie is big on that. He commented after the game, like, you know, we don't get a chance to play a lot of all the schools, or, you know, they play Marshall. And but what went into the planning of throwing in that midweek game against University of Charleston?
I mean, planning, I don't know if that's even the word for it. It happened on Monday. And I was talking to Robbie Britt about it. He said Randy called, I'd say, about a half an hour before their game against Concord, and it was done then. West Virginia was looking for a Division I opponent. And I talked to Randy on Friday of the Kansas series about what the midweek was looking like. It's finals week, right? There's a lot of variables that complicate, you know, a baseball team coming, especially to West Virginia. We weren't looking to travel, at least I don't think so. And, you know, for a multitude of reasons, they weren't able to get a Division I school. And he was saying, my goodness, like, what does it take? We're just looking to play a baseball game. And there's a variety of reasons that every school that you called, they probably couldn't do it for one reason or another. And after Division I was certainly off the table, he made the call to Robbie. They'd had some dialogue before, as I understand it. There may have been an opportunity earlier in the year for the Golden Eagles to come up. And yeah, it was put together on Monday afternoon, a half an hour before the Concord game. And wouldn't you know it, 48 hours later, less than that, they're on a bus to the University City.
That's crazy stuff, man. Hussey, the Parkersburg kid, has been tremendous, freshman coming in, and was WVU Student Athlete of the Week this week. Talk about just being around him as watching that young man come in. And just really just came in. I mean, I talked to Mazie about him, and he said, yeah, he just hit the ground kind of running. Can you kind of talk about that kid a little bit?
He obviously is a very special power bat from the left side, and he looks the part. And I'll tell you what, I love him, and this is kind of the baseball nerd in me. I love him playing first base. Watching him defensively, he is unbelievable defensively. He looks like a big leaguer defensively at first base. Somebody that could win a gold glove. I think he's that good defensively at first base. And I'd love to see if they had, you know, accurate defensive metrics, what he's actually saved, whether it's just soft hands picking balls at first base, whether it's using his size and his footwork to navigate some throws that aren't right on the money. There's really not anything that has hit to him that he is not able to handle. You know, we're playing on artificial surfaces. Every bounce is different, ballpark to ballpark. He handles everything so well defensively. And offensively, clearly the power is there. You watch batting practice, you watch some of the non-Power 5 school at-bats, he's able to be an absolute force in that box. The key has been Big 12 pitching. And for any freshman, there's an adjustment process there, and he went through it in cases pretty severely where he didn't look very good and downright lost at the plate. However, Mazie stuck with him for good reason because he's shown flashes, and I give him credit because even if he wasn't squaring the ball up as you would normally like, hitting the ball as hard as he's capable of, though he's done that much more recently, had a great series against Kansas, and he's coming into his own, and I think he's turned the corner. He was still able to work counts and figure out a way on base. He's okay taking a walk. And for somebody with his power potential or can hit the ball as hard as he can, let alone as far as he can, he is okay with getting on base and taking ball four, which is, I think, a sign of a guy that's mature beyond his years. So when it's all said and done with a guy like Grant Hussey, he's going to wind up having a career that is, and I don't want to get the cart before the horse here, certainly next level worthy, I would think, but maybe we're going to see him on a football Saturday at the Caperton Indoor Facility with Caridi announcing his name with enshrinement, right? And that may be a little early on, but he's going to be a special one, case in point.
Yeah, great. Let's. I know everybody's been talking about NIL, football, basketball, mostly football, but, you know, I've spoken with Mazie the last time I had him on, and, you know, he was really adamant about it influencing baseball and having some type of, you know, cards kind of play with baseball because of how baseball turns out. You either all in or not, right? Either go to the majors or you go this many years of college, and the kids have these decisions to make. And a lot of times, as you know, baseball is a very, very tough sport to break in and become an elite, you know, Bryce Harper, that, you know, Trout, those guys that come in and make a bunch of money and get the contracts and whatnot. So he was talking about how NIL could really help with those kids, you know, because they're paying their own way there. Some of those kids. So what's your philosophy or maybe your opinion of with NIL with baseball and how that influences things?
I mean, much like anything else, I mean, it's the great unknown. And I think if you have the ability to raise money, or if you have a particular business, or in many cases, a donor that is really into baseball, they can put their money and they can channel it and funnel it however they see fit, wherever they see fit, to whomever they see fit, right? You read articles all the time, and there's one in The Athletic today about, you know, the quarterback situation and how the financing of quarterbacks is really the next big thing in football recruiting. Well, is that going to be the case with Friday Night Arms? Are guys going out and they looking for the ace of a staff? Are they looking for shortstops? I mean, there's opportunity everywhere, right, with every sport. And I guess it depends on, you know, you follow the money. Where is that money coming from? If you go to Fayetteville, Arkansas, is there a big baseball guy that wants to channel his and funnel his money there? Yeah, that could be a huge boon for the Razorbacks. Same can be said here for West Virginia, right? If you've got, and listen, they just got a generous gift to name the field after Rick Wagner. There is potential anywhere and everywhere. And I think that West Virginia is going to try to leverage it as much as they can, as they should.
Very awesome stuff. I do totally agree. It's a passion buy. That's what it always is. It's whoever has the passion and where they want to put their money in and see a program blossom is exactly it. All right, let's talk about Texas. You know, obviously a storied program, but they're a 9-9 conference play as we speak, and they're coming to Morgantown, and West Virginia this year has been extremely good at home. What do we expect from this Texas program as they come in?
I think it's a team that's trying to figure out their bullpen. If West Virginia can hold their own and keep this thing close against a really good starting staff in Hanson on Friday tonight, Stevens tomorrow, and then Gordon on Sunday, you look at those arms. Those are some respectable numbers that are starting games for the Longhorns. Their issue has been maintaining leads, tie games, just their bullpen's been really bad. That's the long and short of the Longhorns. They're also missing a starter, Tanner Witt, Tommy John surgery. He was supposed to be their Saturday guy, so they've had to pull from the bullpen. And, you know, they've robbed Peter to pay Paul there, bringing, you know, bullpen guys to midweek guys to the weekend rotation. And there's been some attrition there. So it appears as if their pitching depth, especially in the bullpen, the softest spot of any club, is usually their middle relief working into their later relief. That's a soft spot. And if West Virginia can get into that bullpen earlier, the better, or, you know, work counts and, you know, get guys out after four and two thirds of five and out from their starting staff, that's going to be really beneficial. Get to that bullpen as quickly as possible, because they've blown some games and they're clearly not the team that they were as a preseason number one. I think that's what everybody remembers, but they've taken on water largely, as I understand it, due to the bullpen. Injuries have kind of taken hold as well. Austin Todd, big veteran guy, big bat. He's been out dealing with injury. Eric Kennedy, a really important bat. He's been out with injury. Will he play this weekend? I think that's one of the big question marks. So they've sustained three significant injuries in addition to the inconsistencies out of the bullpen. And that's probably the explanation for why they're still a really good team. Don't get me wrong. But why they are maybe not in the top 10 as many would have expected, or in the top 25 for that
matter. Yeah. First pitch is set for tonight at 6:30 there in Morgantown, if you're able to make it up for the game. If not, I believe, all Big 12 games are on ESPN Plus, correct, Dan?
That's right. That's right. And, of course, the Mountaineers Sports Network, right? All
right.
Those free apps that you can listen to the radio broadcast.
That's right. Listen to Dan and his crew there as they do a tremendous job. Always love talking to you, man. Hey, before I let you go, I didn't get a chance to thank you for the happy birthday wishes to my friend that was turning 40 years old. I appreciate you taking the time outside your little Lowe's trip and wishing my old man friend a happy 40th birthday. I really appreciate that.
There you go, man. Well, how's it been like for him? Has he handled it well?
I think he's taking it in there. He doesn't have a walker just yet, but he's on his way for sure.
All right, but I'm sure he's getting the mail from AARP. Yes?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yep, he's getting on it early.
Good stuff.
All right, Dan, appreciate your time.
You got it. Thanks, Brandon.
All right. Thank you to Dan Zangrilli talking Mountaineer baseball with us here on the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt. Now we move our attention over to some high school softball here in the state of West Virginia. This young lady here doesn't need any introduction. She's a legendary coach here in the state of West Virginia and her Hoover Huskies sectional champions. And like we were talking about before we went on here, that at least you don't have to play today in all this rain. She is Missy Smith. Missy, thank you for joining me on the show today.
Thanks for having me. I was very excited to get the invitation.
All right, so let's talk about that. Sectional title is now, you've got that. Obviously, there's more games being played, but kind of talk about grabbing that, securing that, and continue your quest as far as postseason play is concerned.
Well, obviously, with the rain today, we were very lucky to have our sectional completed. We had some games get suspended on the first day, but we were able to catch them up on Wednesday. And on Tuesday, they got some suspended games. And on Wednesday, we were able to catch up. And then finish up with a doubleheader yesterday so that we didn't have to fight through the weather. Actually, the next 2 days don't look great. And we do have a two-week window, which is very fortunate. And some teams have, you know, we have five teams in our section. Some of them have three. But, you know, the two-week window is helpful, especially when you get weather. Like, I feel like the spring has been a rainy, cold mess. I don't know why I thought sectionals would be any different.
Yeah, tell me about it. I was driving down. I live off Coal River Road here in St. Albans, and yeah, if you've ever traveled through there, there's puddles everywhere, and my weeds outside. I got to have my son. I was going to have my son pull the weeds outside, but Saturday, but tomorrow it's supposed to rain again. So no luck for me. All right. So let's talk about the performance from your team throughout. I mean, you know, the couple no hitters, Buckner, you had obviously the bats were hot too, to kind of combine with your defense. Can you kind of talk about your team's performance through the sectional round?
We came into the postseason really focused. I feel like we play a tough schedule. The Cardinal Conference is enormously difficult to play through. And then we picked up a good St. Albans team and a good Lincoln County team. And I felt like that our schedule sort of put us where we needed to be as far as competition in order to come into the postseason focused. And they really just, the girls have hit the ground running as far as, you know, both sides of the ball. We have been seeing the ball really well and hitting when we needed to, and even small ball has been successful for us here in the postseason. And you know, Grayson is doing her job on the mound. Her job is to throw strikes, and she's doing that, and the defense is ready behind her. And you know, they're pretty focused right now.
Yeah, back-to-back no hitters, I believe, right?
She walked one batter in each of the first two games, so that was, yeah,
that's unbelievable. All right, let's talk about obviously your program. Four straight, obviously 2020 was a strike year.
Yeah.
Not to do a pun there. I did a pun there on X. But, you know, that year was obviously out. But you're still four straight. You're going for your fifth straight here. How do you keep every year, you start the year over, how do you keep those gals focused and yourself focused in? I mean, I know a lot of coaches, they say they don't concentrate on streaks or expectations and all that, but how do you keep your gals and yourself kind of grounded every year you go into with those expectations?
You have to address it because everybody knows that it's there. Excuse me. And everybody knows how successful we've been. It's not a secret. And we know that we see everyone's best game. Everybody wants to be the one that beats us. And we talk about that all the time, about how we don't see, when we watch a team and then they play us, it's a totally different team, and that we have to elevate our game all the time. And we stress about handling pressure and how we are together in this, and we don't need one person to do everything. So when we start to break it down into roles, and it's a difficult conversation to have with kids sometimes about what your role is on this team. And I'm just blessed with kids and parents that buy into everything that we do. They understand that we don't need you to be a star, that you are a star, but you don't have to be a star. And that if you go 0-for-4, it's okay. Somebody else is going to pick you up and you can carry the load next time. And it has become just us, and our seniors and juniors do a great job with the incoming freshmen and kind of leading them down the path so that I don't even have to very much. And it's, you know, it's a testament to the girls and the parents and the community, because I can't do it without them. And when they buy in, it's a special thing to be a part of.
Let's talk a little bit more about that community. You know, I've obviously talked about Joey Fields, who's now kind of transplanted himself in that community. Obviously before that, I've talked to several coaches in different sports and you know, the surrounding communities around Hoover High School. And just the response, just based off the fact that you're going to be on the show today on social media, shows me how much the folks in the community back you and every other coach and program there. Can you kind of talk about being a part of that and how that feels, having that love and support behind you?
It's amazing. You would think that it would add pressure because the community is so supportive and they want you to be succeeding. And, you know, we're going through a good run in all the programs at Ed Hoover right now. But it really doesn't. It gives you sort of a crutch. They're there for you no matter what you do. And every sport that we've played, everywhere we've been, a postseason, state tournament, regular season games, it's a sea of red and blue. And it's just comforting to look out no matter where we are and see how much support that you have from the community. And I mean, I graduated from here. My parents graduated from here. So it's just, you know, I've lived here my whole life, and to continue to see it's amazing. And like you said, with Coach Fields coming in and seeing how we embrace the transplants that come in, and, you know, they're part of us too. If you buy into us, we take care of you. And it's, you know, I love coaching here and being a part of that.
It's awesome stuff. You mentioned, you know, your team and others picking each other up. I always like to give coaches a chance to brag on some of the kids and some of those players that have maybe elevated themselves from the prior year or have become a leader. Is there a couple standouts there have either come a leader or have kind of embraced that leader role in your team this year?
Well, we've actually been pretty young the last 2 years. We only graduated one from last year's team. We only have two seniors this year.
Yeah.
So Caroline Woody and Grayson Buckner, our two seniors, really had to be seniors last year with Courtney Pfizer. So not only they missed their sophomore year, but they're getting a bonus senior year, which I think is important. But our junior class is really big. It's got eight kids in it, and they are just a joy to coach too. They, as a group, they're some of the hardest working kids that we have, and they spent the whole off season getting ready for this year because they didn't get their freshman year. So they had an accelerated sophomore year, and they didn't shy away from anything last year, but they felt really thrown into it. So they wanted to make sure that they came in ahead of the curve now that they understood what it was like to play for Hoover and the high school expectations. And the whole junior class has just been a comfort to coach because they don't shy away from the hard stuff. They work hard and they understand if when it comes time for me to get on them, that where it's coming from, and they embrace it. And, you know, they're a special group too.
Let's have a little fun here. Baseball, softball is a game of superstition. Most sports are, but really in baseball, yeah. Softball, it's superstition is a huge thing. Whether, you know, you come up to the mound and you walk backwards back to the bull, you know, whatever it is, you touch your nose every time, you know, whatever it is, you know, and so you got Friday the 13th coming up next Friday. So I thought this would be kind of a cool thing. Do you have a superstition when you are in the game before the game?
Too many to count.
What is it?
Too many to count. I have a lot of pregame rituals that I go through. My assistant coach, not superstitious at all. But I have several. And one of the ones that we have a baby that travels with us, and they give a little pregame ritual with the baby. And then I get to hold the baby during announcements and during the national anthem. And then when I coach third base, I pace backwards until the pitch comes, and then I'm moving back forward. And I have several pregame rituals and rituals throughout the game. So I am uber superstitious about things.
That's awesome. That's great. And it's working out so far.
So far.
What's your measurement of success as a coach? Like, how do you measure your success? I mean, obviously championships, titles are, you know, that's, you could see that on paper and you could see that. And, but what is for you personally, what is your measurement of success?
I think one of the biggest things is the graduates coming back. Like, we had four or five at the game last night, and they came over and talked to the girls while we were warming up, and the girls seeing them and, you know, the relationships that they have built together. And as a coach, if my program makes you want to come back after you have done your time, then that's a success for me, to make high school softball for this group something that they remember their whole lives. And even when they've graduated, they're still keeping up with us on social media. They're stopping by the field. You know, they're texting, they're calling, they're reaching out. To know that they still care after they're gone means that we're successful.
It's amazing. Coach, appreciate your time. Congratulations again, getting through sectional round. Obviously more games ahead of you and going for that fifth straight state title. And, you know, obviously we'll be rooting for you. Appreciate your time here on the show today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you again to Dan Zangrilli and Missy Smith for joining us on the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt. We'll be back on Monday. Again, if you're new here, these episodes premiere Monday and Friday at 4 p.m. It goes across the board of HD Media platforms. WVGazetteMail.com is where it's archived, as well as herald-dispatch.com. You can check that out on their YouTube pages, as well as our social media pages at Below Show on Twitter and Facebook. And Video Productions also has it over there, along with Gazette Mail and Herald Dispatch's social media pages. Make sure to follow along with that, along with Spotify, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. All right, until Monday, we'll talk to you then here on the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt. Enjoy your weekend.